Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
All right, how is that? Reminds me of Mannion on AW, spinning one in. I could play that for you. Will your lad, he used to say to me through the glass, oh, nothing on the turntable but the maker's name, huh? Okay, no worries, I'll chat for a while, will I? No worries. Mannion, AW. Fantastic stuff. What a great song. It takes you back to the era of stainless steel bodied aircraft and just the romance of travelling around the world. It's changed a bit now. Retired captain for Emirates, the A380s used to fly. James Nixon, good morning.
Good morning. Name one stainless steel-bodied aircraft.
The Qantas Constellation.
Oh, Super Constellation.
Yeah. A few DC-3s in their day.
Yeah.
777?
Oh, if it was American Airlines, maybe.
Yeah, maybe aluminum.
Oh, aluminum? Yeah, stainless steel. No,
stainless
steel
is a bit of a problem. Right. Heavy.
Heavy.
Bit
heavy, yeah, that's
true. Still trying to get airborne, though, blokes.
Aluminium.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. Hey, James, welcome aboard. You two are related insofar
yes.
as travelling. Travelling is concerned. And we're talking, what have Jetstar done?
Oh, mate, they're trying to turn me into Ansett. So when I go on Jetstar, I just spend. Because I want to up the appearance, you know, the whole idea of flying. I flew across to Launceston for $57 and I just kept adding things because I figure you can't go over Bass Strait without having a cup of tea.
So you got to pay for that.
Yeah. And when we went over there, I was the only person on the airplane that was served anything. And all the passengers looked at me as the flight attendant reached over to my window seat and passed me my cup of tea tray. And they looked at me and you could see them going, look at that rich man.
VIP.
So do you get this reaction from customers, Jackie, that sort of say, yes, we've got to add on all this money all the time?
You know what? I always add on too, James, honestly. I've just been to Europe and I had to add on a cabin bag extra, one for below and one for above, and it was an extra €30. So,
you know.
And I got charged excess baggage as well. So they're all doing it around the world.
Except Emirates. I got a free muffin.
From?
They give you, if you spend that much and you hire a car as well, they give you a free muffin.
Look,
it's unbelievable. Nice. What's happening now is they're so sick and tired of all the cabin baggage coming on the aeroplane. Mm. They've said enough already.
Well, they have a good point, and I don't think it's fair. There are limitations, what, 6 kgs or
seven kilograms?
It's not that hard.
And it's got to be a certain size, which is a fair call. But you see people lugging bigger than that in and obviously heavier.
And, you know, filling their pockets with undies and things. Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on. No, that's only... Anyways, you know, big jackets and all sorts of things But the fact of the matter is it's a great idea for them. It's preferential boarding. That's what I like about it. I'll pay the money because I want to get on the airplane first and steal your pillow because I like catching pillows on the way through and just grab myself the best seat in the house, and I'm happy to pay for that extra. What I'm worried about, and this is a big thing for the industry, is that their marketing has to include two things. Yes, it's very nice for you to go bagless on an aeroplane, but we need all your lithium batteries in the cabin, and we need all your drugs in the cabin, your prescribed drugs. The other ones as well if you wish.
What's the reason if there's an episode?
Yeah, and so if there's long delays or whatever, people's drugs often wear out, And that's, I can talk later about that for Project Sunrise, for these big long flights, because their drugs will run out after about 8 hours. So you've got to get them into them. And I've had some problems on long haul flights, or ultra long haul flights with
Emirates.
Where they
put their pills in the bag in the bottom.
That's right. And everything wears off. And so then you get in big trouble, especially going over the North Pole. In the old days, we were out of radio contact for 4.5 hours.
Gee.
And now with Starlink, that they can be in touch with people. But it's a real, real issue that you've got to address.
And so no lithium batteries, any of those banks?
No, it's against the law. Like a dangerous goods law says you're not allowed to put. And so on
they'll X-ray the bags. A friend of mine had one in her luggage last year when we went to Vietnam, and we went through customs. She got called over the loudspeaker and had to go back and unpack her bag and get the lithium out.
In this very studio last week, Ross was speaking to the head of the Flight Attendants Association, and she was saying how great this is for the cabin crew because they're so sick and tired of too many people bringing so much stuff on. But she said this phrase, "Who needs an iPad going between Melbourne and Canberra?
No one.
Check it in." But the problem is, iPads are lithium batteries.
So you've got to have it with you.
You've got to have it with you in the cabin so the cabin crew can put them out if they catch fire. There's a special process for lithium batteries because they just keep on burning.
What about a Garmin fitness watch? So I'm travelling to do a triathlete and I'm wearing my Seiko in the cabin. I've got a Garmin rechargeable in my suitcase.
No.
It says, can't have it.
Look on the dangerous goods part of your ticket and it tells you.
A lithium battery is a lithium battery.
That's it. And we have them in watches. We have them in phones. Old-fashioned digital cameras, iPads and laptop computers. You know, every person's got about 5 lithium batteries and we want them in the cabin. That's the most important thing.
Any calls on travel? Any calls on flying? 133-693. You were saying?
Well, the problem is by having these bags, soft bags under the seat, which they're giving you free of charge, people are then going to put all their lithium batteries under the seat in a soft carry-on bag, which can be kicked by people in front, kicking backwards, and also you kicking yourself. So maybe we're going to cause problems with lithium batteries now that we're sticking things under the seat rather than
The top bit. Mm.
So there's a lot to be talked about, and this airline better start doing some marketing about that before they do it on the 2nd of February next year.
Rightio. Andrea joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrea.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Yeah.
My question is, I have got a fear of flying. I still fly all the time, but because I love travelling. But I, I've got a real fear, and I was just wondering if you guys had any hints. I'm about to head off to the UK in about 6 weeks, and it's the longest flight I've done for a few years. And I'm just wondering if you've got any hints to help with how I can be calm when I'm flying.
Well, I used to have a friend that drank lots of gin and tonics, but that's not really the answer. But I think James is a good expert.
You're talking
about
yourself, Jackie. Well, look at the Women's Pilots Association used to do this fantastic course called Fear of Flying Course. So contact your airline. Who are you flying with?
Cathay Pacific.
All right, so maybe it's difficult for Cathay to have a course in Australia, but just look around the internet for fear of flying courses.
Nathan Kosh did one, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people contribute to the courses, so they get an engineer in and they get a flight attendant and a pilot. In the old days at ANSET, we'd even take you out to the simulators and show you stuff. But it's the reason you're nervous. And could I suggest that maybe your friends call you an A-type personality? That you like always being in control? Would that be correct?
I suppose. But
it's the only time in your life when your control is being taken off you completely. In the old days at ANSET, we used to bring the people who were nervous of flying into the flight deck before we took off, and they would meet us. And once they'd see in the cockpit and they'd meet the pilots, that allays a lot of stress because they can see you and eyeball you and they're not so scared anymore. So the problem is it's lack of knowledge about the business. You can check out online. There's lots of things about it. And you can check some YouTube tapes and have a look at some of the simulators and things like that to get a handle on how safe the job is.
Yeah. Good on you, Andrea. To Glinda, good morning.
Hi,
Glinda.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I'm in the tunnel at the moment. I apologise for the noise. I just wanted to know, I had a friend who recently travelled and she said before they got on the plane, everything was weighed. So it was handbags, everything was carried on. And then everyone started taking their clothing out of their bag and putting it on. So I'm wondering, is it the weight that you're worried about or the excess baggage being stored?
What's the weight? So they allow... In economy, 23 kilos is the average and baggage is 7. Some are more. So that's the thing that Jetstar particularly are very strict. They'll weigh it. If it's not 7 kilos, you won't be able to take it on. And people do. They put clothes on. As James said before, they put their undies in their pockets. And, there was an article on the news the other night and the guy was just there. He put all his clothes on, all his jackets, all his hats, his shoes, everything. So it's amazing how little 7 kilo actually weighs because I've been away many times and I usually take two little carry-ons and I put check one in and take one because I like to have one for my laptop as well. So, but yes, always check it. You can weigh your luggage before you leave home and they'll charge you if it's over.
In terms of the weight of the passenger, I think you may be also wondering, you know, what happens if you have too much weight, will the plane get airborne? That's an issue that we have. And some days, one day every 4 or 5 years, everyone has to be weighed for the day so we can find out what the standard weight is for a person. So you've got two options when you're running an airline. You can use standard weights or you can use actual weights. And when you're flying in the New Guinea highlands and places where it's dangerous to fly in small planes and high mountains and thin air, they actually weigh the passengers and all the baggage before you get on the plane
because it's balance.
Crucial for weight and balance. But for these big airlines, every now and then, one day, everything has to be weighed. And then they work out what the average is for the airline. And for Ansett, all those years ago, the average weight for a passenger and their baggage was 100 kilos. But for flights coming out of Hamilton Island, 105 kilos because they had put on so much weight while they were there.
Is that right? And the average would be a lot more now, wouldn't it? Passengers their luggage.
There's a lot of skinny people, a lot of very small people on average. So,
yeah, I suppose.
So the average weight for 77 kilos for a person is correct because you've got kids and young ladies who are or thin ladies who are only 35 kilos,
yeah,
and guys who are 100, so it sort of averages out, and they have a requirement by law to make sure that average is correct.
Yeah, Sophie, good morning.
Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning. I was just listening, and for that lady who is an anxious flyer, I've been a flight attendant for 15 years, and I always recommend Rescue Remedy. It's a natural product. It's a herb. You can buy it at the chemist over the counter, but it really just takes the edge off, and it's all a Swiss natural product.
Yeah, I've heard of that. And Rescue yes. Remedy.
My mum uses it and swears by it. It's fabulous.
Does she?
Yes, yeah. Under the tongue, and it really does work.
Yeah, all right.
You can get the juice. I have the juice. And, yeah, like a little lozenger type thing. So there's many things out there, but Rescue Remedy is a good one.
Well done. That's great. Thanks, Sophie.
Who do you fly with, Sophie?
I fly with the
Jetstar.
Kangaroo.
The kangaroo.
Kangaroo.
Local or international?
Just local.
Just local.
Not just local.
Good
local.
Idea. See you inboard. See you on board. Ooh. Thank you, Sophie.
Qantas passenger, are you?
I'm a frequent flyer. I'm loyal.
Right.
And I bought shares in the company too.
What a great idea.
Once. I bought $1,000 worth of shares when they were $3.10.
Wow.
You're filthy rich.
29 to 10. 12.
Weekend Breakfast. 30% off curtains. You're listening to Weekend Breakfast on Melbourne's 3AW. Forget the endless packing and the stress of getting everything from A to B. Book the White Glove Mover today.
If you've just joined us, Jackie Keating is here from Smart Flyer. She's a travel agent with how many years' experience?
Oh, probably just shy of 40.
Just shy of 40, just a few. And retired A380 captain for Emirates. James Nixon is here. How many hours?
18,000, same as Sully and Captain Shah from Emirates 370.
Captain Sully Sullenberg.
Wow. He's got dementia.
Has he?
Yeah, it's just
been really sad.
Very sad.
We're going, Teterboro's available. We're not going to Teterboro. We're going the Hudson.
That's, yeah, that's Tom Hanks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Tom Hanks. Pam, good morning.
Hi. Earlier this year, we went to Fiji with Fiji Airlines to come back Jetstar. On the way back, it was 35 degrees, humidity, bloody hot. They took our water off us. I did the right thing, refilled it where I could. They took me water. And then it was already 3 hours delayed. Then we had to sit on the tarmac for an hour and a half. And to compensate, they gave us half a cup of water. And I said to the guy, I need more than that. I feel sick. He says, okay, you may have to pay for it. And he never come back, prick. I just thought, off with the heads. I would never do Jetstar again.
Yeah, look, I'm never. Not a fan either.
And that lady, if she's done Cafe Pacific, I've travelled with them to Hong Kong, Vegas. They are so lovely. We're going with them in 2 weeks.
They're very good.
Yeah, good airline. Yeah, thanks for that, Pam. To Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, team. Interesting you're talking about averages there a minute ago. Well, I'm at the top end of the averages. Darren, which footy club do you follow, mate?
Carlton.
Hawthorn.
The Mighty Pies.
Oh, that's right. Wrong one.
Mighty Pies. Yeah, well, thanks very much for sending Mason Cox across to us here in Perth. Yeah. He's doing a great job.
He's doing really well, isn't he?
Big wouldn't want to sit right, next to him in economy.
Well, that's exactly my segue. I'm about a centimetre, give or take, probably a centimetre shorter than Mason Cox, but that's 3/5 or 5/8 of very little when you get to that height. Wow. So where can I sit, Jackie, if I need to fly, other than paying for a first-class ticket, where can I sit if I wanted to fly, even if it was like, well, yeah, I'd like to fly internationally to London or somewhere. How do I get on?
Well, business class, if you can afford business class, or you pay for an exit row and go economy. But there are some other areas in the plane where the bulkhead, it depends on the aircraft. It's always good to ask your travel agent. And I was checking with someone yesterday and we got a seat where there was no one in front. It was just the bulkhead area. So that's a really good seat. So it depends on can you afford business class, first class?
No.
No? Okay. Well, always book and pay the exit row before, because they don't give them at the airport anymore. They make money out of them before the flight goes.
It's not healthy if you're that tall to sit in the economy.
No, that's why you really, unfortunately, you have to look after yourself and pay for the exit row.
Well, yeah, but what about?
I can probably do that, but, you know, it really puts someone like myself at a severe disadvantage.
Of course, I agree. Look, in the old days, it used to be just for the tall people, the exit rows. But now they've worked out they can make money out of it. And some, you know, it's $300 sometimes to buy an exit row, say through to Doha or Dubai.
Yeah, I personally think that the Emirates A380 economy seat that's especially designed, carbon fibre seat that is thin, so people have told me that it's much better than normal economy seats. However, I'm with you. I think that this industry is on a drive to the bottom, and putting people of our size in economy seats is just wrong. So you either have to go in business class, which means you go once every 10 years rather than every year like every Australian seems to want to do these days, and just go in style once every 10 years. That's the only way you can do it, because I'm not going to play their game and sit in the back of a long airplane, an ultra-long haul flight in economy.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks, Jeff. The refurbishment of the Emirates planes, they've been advertising that recently. Does that mean ripping out the whole lot and reinstalling the whole interior?
Yeah, they've got new seats, and they've got seats for the headrest seats now fold forward so you can rest your chin on them and you hold your neck so you don't need a neck support.
Oh, that's good.
Brand new seats.
Yeah.
And I think they're upgrading the premium a little bit as well. Yeah. Emirates is great. We love Emirates. I've got an extremely fantastic rep for Emirates in Melbourne, a lady called Linda. She is wonderful.
And I think in all these things, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. To Phil, good morning.
Good morning to you all.
Phil.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Look, my daughter and son-in-law are going to Bali later this year. They were going to fly Jetstar. By the time they added up all the extra costs, it cost them $100 less to fly with a full-service airline.
Yes, that's very true. But the reason I like Jetstar with Bali is because they have a day flight coming back. But now Virgin have a day flight coming back from Bali as well. Departs at 3 and gets here at about midnight. So that's the only reason why I would have booked Jetstar. And can I tell a funny story about Jetstar? I just remembered. I went with a friend years ago and I flew Star Class, which is their equivalent to business class. And it's not really, it's more a premium economy. And the man next to me was telling me he was getting off the aircraft and playing golf the next morning at Royal Melbourne. And I thought, oh, here's, you know. And next thing you know, he picked up the magazine and flossed his teeth with it. the Flight Magazine and Floss. You see, and put it back. So from that moment on, I have never read an In Flight Magazine ever again.
You floss your teeth with a magazine.
Well, what you do is
that was Jetstar.
I don't know what golf club he's in. He wouldn't get into the Fisher's Club.
He would not. 19 to 12.
Most shower grout leaks, causing toxic mold. .com.au today.
Vicky, good morning.
Hi there. I would like to know if, I'm sorry, I forgot the travel agent's name.
Jackie.
If you have ever seen the Sky Couch.
Yes, I do know about the Air New Zealand Sky Couches. I think Air New Zealand are a fabulous airline, and I was looking at going to Hawaii next year, and I'm going to go to them via Auckland because it's better than going via Sydney. And they do. So you have it's three economy seats, and you can lie across the so it's like a business class. It's better than a business class seat, really.
So you lie on three economies?
Yeah.
With the other passengers there at that time? Or?
No. You've got the whole lot. You have to pay extra, of course.
And it comes up where the feet are, that comes up flat as well. But my concern is you've got to make sure you're wearing your seatbelt because when you lie down like that, if we hit turbulence.
There's a special seatbelt.
Does it? Oh, that's good.
Oh, good. There you go. No, I think that's fabulous.
So thumbs up for the Sky Couch.
I might do it next year to Hawaii. But it's only on certain aircraft. So it'd only be on their long haul, say 777 aircraft.
Yes.
And not the shorter flights.
No, for a long one.
Exactly. Yeah. So say, because they do Auckland to New York, I think.
Yeah, it'd be the 787.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you, Vicky. To Melanie, good morning.
Morning, Melanie.
Hi. I'm just calling. My in-laws recently were supposed to do the Amsterdam to Budapest cruise.
Oh, yes. There's been very low rivers.
I'm not exactly sure what. Yes, but they weren't notified until the day before the cruise started that and it then turned into a bus trip. They weren't offered a refund, a reschedule, or anything. Is that normal?
Look, we received an email this week, actually. I didn't have anyone on a river cruise, but I think they should really give more notice. It really depends on how much notice they actually have had. So that's a shame. What do how long?
They were talking about an act of nature.
Okay. Well, it sort of is.
Fair enough. Well, it is, but I mean, yeah.
I wonder if travel insurance would have covered them. Did they check their travel insurance?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened because it is disappointing.
Yeah, no. Well, they will check when they're back, but they were there, you know, what else could they do sort of thing. So,
that's true.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that was common.
Look, it does happen. It happened a few years ago too, and I did have someone go. They had the opportunity to cancel, so, sorry to hear that. But
yeah, no good. Yeah. Thanks, Melanie. To Daryl, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good, Daryl.
Hi, Daryl.
I'm looking to inquire about flights. It's going to be the first time I'm flying, but I'm a little bit overweight, so I'm trying to track down what's the best seating location for roughly Virgin to go to Brisbane.
What do you reckon, James? Would it matter?
Not going domestically with Virgin will just be a 737, but there's a great website which shows you the seating plans of just about every airline in the world and every airplane type. So is it called Seating Plans?
Seat Guru? And do you know
SeatGuru.com.
SeatGuru.
Yeah.
SeatGuru.
The hard part is trying to find out which flight.
Oh, yeah, Guru. It's a guru.
Hard part is finding out what aeroplane they're using on that sector.
Exactly. And also there can be version 1, version 2, version 3, and they all can be different. And one can be fitted with the brand new business class and one won't be. So,
in fact, at our lunch the other day, our friends there were saying that she likes flying the old 777 Emirates flight because there's two seats down the back where they can sit together and they feel like it's their own little area.
Yeah, and then they don't have to climb over
but
two people on the window.
It's hard getting those airplanes, you know, trying to find when that's going to be on your sector.
Hang on. The AI overview says Seat Guru has officially shut down and is no longer operational.
Oh.
Parent company TripAdvisor discontinued the service after years of unmaintained and outdated aircraft layout configurations.
Well, I can tell you, too, that AI is very good at checking as well.
Right.
I checked one the other day for a friend, and it was very helpful.
Yeah. So check out those sort of websites. There must be someone else filling the gap because he's been around for years.
I'll tell you, you could also buy two seats because I had a client that flew to Ayers Rock and they didn't want someone sitting in the middle. So they bought the middle seat. And I called it Frankie Keating, which is my dog. And because they didn't want that seat taken. So you can certainly buy another seat and just buy the bare minimum. You don't obviously need luggage for that seat. And
That happens on all international flights. And all the cabin crew have extension seat belts because if you're particularly large and you want two seats, you want to have a seat belt that's comfortable. So that's available on every airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Daryl. There's some good info for you.
Good luck with your first flight.
To Helen, good morning.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Helen.
I am travelling to Seoul later this year, and I'm just interested to know which areas are better to stay.
In Seoul?
Yeah.
It's such a big city, and it depends on if you're going for business or for leisure.
It's leisure with adult kids.
Adult kids, yeah. Look, I mean, I must admit over the years I've only ever sent people going on business. It's over the years that lots of people go on business. So I would look up something like one of the Viata or day tours or look up something. What do you think, James?
Well, the Emirates Crew Hotel is spectacular.
There you go.
And so do some searching and find out the Emirates Crew Hotel in Seoul. Behind the hotel, there's a hill with lots of little shops on it. At the top of the hill, about six stories up, is a bar called Old Rock Bar.
And are you taking notes here, Helen?
The sign is in the sky.
Sure
it's
am.
Like an LP. Old Rock Bar. And you crawl up these stairs and you go in and as you walk in this bar, the hill freezes over, music from 1987.
The Eagles.
At the Eagles at Melbourne is playing all the time. And the guy has about 2,000 LPs and he plays every song and every Emirates crew member goes. I was the first person to sign the bar many years ago. Now every part of that place has been signed and you'll find at least 20 crew there to welcome you.
Oh, wow. There's a good travel tip, Helen.
Exactly. Well,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
and would you recommend flying with Emirates or flying out of Melbourne? What is a good airline?
You're asking me? Yeah, I'm addicted to A380s.
He's a former A380 captain. Used to
I just
fly
love
the
so much. I'd much rather fly from Melbourne to Dubai, Dubai to Seoul, but most people don't do those sort of crazy things.
Most people fly Melbourne-Sydney and then Sydney to Seoul with Asiana Airlines or via Cathay, Hong Kong with Cathay, Singapore with Singapore Airlines. So one of those, I think. Or Emirates via Dubai, of course.
Yep.
Are Seoul hotels different to others or they're all pretty good standard, aren't they?
Very good. There's one called the Schiller Seoul, which is famous, and that's where all my clients have stayed over the years. So, no, lots of lovely hotels. There's Four Seasons, Mandarin, there's all the big ones. It's a great city. And if you go on your cruise next year, you'll be going to Busan, which is another big city in South Korea.
The number one air route in the world is Jeju Island. To Seoul, because people can't afford to pay for golf courses up in Seoul, so they fly down to Jeju and play golf and go back again.
Do they?
Jeju's a volcanic island.
I've been there.
About an hour and a half.
It's a little island full of cosmetic shops. It's hysterical.
Asiana has this airline in the middle of the city, and you just walk out and get on board, and when it's full, it takes off and the next one as well. So it's just like a shuttle service. It's the most travelled air route in the world.
Beautiful.
It beats Melbourne, Sydney.
Mm. To Janet, good morning.
Oh, hello. I just recently had a really bad experience. It was my fault. I missed a connecting flight from Abu Dhabi into Cairo.
Oh.
And because I had already booked my flights coming home, because I had missed the sequence, my flights were cancelled and I had to rebook them and pay for them again.
Oh, gee.
But the thing is, I got on the same flight and I was one row back from the original seats that I had booked.
Okay. How did you get from Abu Dhabi to Cairo?
I had to go through Egypt Air because when we got to Abu Dhabi, it was part of Eid. And so being an Islamic country, all the flights were booked and I got the last seat on Egypt Air. which I managed to get. But I had to pay like $700 for that. And then I had to rebook and repay for the flights coming home, even though I only missed one flight.
You should get a refund on that ticket. What they do is they reassess what a one-way would have been, because they'll charge you for the one-way. But you should get some back on the return. So I'd apply to your travel agent or through the website you booked through, definitely.
Good on you.
I was in this game for 31 years, had no idea that this happens. If you miss your outbound sector, they automatically cancel your
everything
inbound
else,
sector.
Yep.
I just think it's unbelievable.
In the old days, we used to be able to like sort of work things around and fiddle around with coupons, but now it just automatically cancels. Yeah,
wow. Crazy. We're almost there at 4 to 12.
Drive with Jackie Falgate.
On the line now is Jackson.
At fowls.com.au.
Michael, you have a quick recommendation for accommodation in Seoul?
Yes, that's right. I suggest the Hongdae province area. It's got the real spirit of Seoul. It's not a touristy spot, but near the local university. And the night markets are absolutely unbelievable.
Perfect. Great
markets
advice.
Markets always great in a big city.
The Hongdae area. Jackie and James, it's been a pleasure having you on board today. Please ensure you take your personal belongings with you.
Unfasten seatbelts. Leave everything behind.
And thank you
for slide.
Thank you for flying DJ Airlines.
Thank you.
3AW at SmartFlyer.
3AW at smartflyer.com.au.
If you're interested in coming away to Japan with us
October 27th on Explorer 3.
If we've got interest, we'll do it. What, 10
absolutely.
Nights?
Absolutely. 10 nights.
How
beautiful
much?
Beautiful ship. $15,000 per person.
All inclusive.
All inclusive.
Why am I yelling?
Well, because
I don't know,
you're
there's
excited.
There's no casinos in the
you're
Antarctic.
You're excited. Oh, there is a casino.
In the Antarctic.
Up next, the footy from midday. AFL CEO Andrew Dillon joins Bruce Eva, Caro and Lethal Lee Matthews live from the G. See you guys. See you, James. See you, Jackie.